We're going to begin this series, The Paradox of Graceless Christians, Part 1. And we will read the text together. We'll read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And then I'll look at it again in a moment, but let's stand while we read God's Word, please. And he's writing now to us in this room who are believers. We're believers. We know that we know we're saved. And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, that is with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. You may be seated. So by way of introduction, I just want to kind of personalize this because it's very personal for me. This message from God applies to me as much as it does you. I have been unquestionably a recipient of God's forgiveness and favor. I cannot tell you, I cannot begin to even attempt to number how many times God's grace has redeemed my personal failures and taught me about His love. And I want to share with you in this series, in order that we together might be conduits of God's grace. And so the question is asked, and this is the first question I asked myself as I was outlining this series of sermons, and that question I asked was, of myself, was this: don't you want to be a grace giver? Don't you want to be a source of sharing and showing hope to those who either have no hope or who through excessive sin have somehow lost grasp of hope? And so this entire series is about being reminded of the amazing grace that has been shown to people like you and me by an amazing holy God, so that we can be like Him, a grace giver, so that we can be a servant who loves others deeply, not for our own accolades, but all for the glory of Him who laid down His life for us. You see, if there needs to be change in my spirit or in your spirit or in our spirits collectively as a body, if there needs to be a change, it will not happen through trying harder. It will only happen through experiencing or encountering the radical grace of God personally. We try hard, yes, but it's got to go beyond trying hard. We have to get down into our hearts, down into our spirits, and really be able to see ourselves in our current state, and then plead with God, if necessary, to make us right. I want to talk with you first this morning about upgraded Christians, because this is who we are if we are truly Christians. We're upgraded people. What has God done for you? If I were to ask you, as a believer, what has God done for you? It would probably take you, if you have an understanding of the gospel, it would take you quite a while to answer that question, would it not? What has grace done for you, Alan? Could you answer that question with one sentence? And then if you elaborated on what that means, what that looks like, the benefits of having brought you out of the pit of destruction, we'd be here until tomorrow morning or longer, would we not? How many of you believers can say that's right?
Amen.
So what has God done for you? And in light of that, I ask the question of myself, well, how much do you complain? Because you say, I just wanted to be really, really honest with my own self. I'm not preaching at you. I'm telling you what I've gone through in developing this series of sermons because I want God to bless them. And I just got to be real with myself. I think we have to be real with ourselves. Collectively, right? How much do we complain? I just think too many Christians have lost the wonder of what God's grace has done for them. We know we are the recipients of His grace, but have we lost the wonder of it? That song, The Divine Exchange, this is why I want us to sing it again at the end of the service. This is what I asked the team before. It's perfect for this message. Have I lost the wonder of God's grace in my own life? Because if I have, it's going to come out. It's going to show. Too many Christians, I really believe, have fallen into this debilitating sense of self-centered entitlement. It's like there have been seasons in my life when I behaved as if God existed solely to make me happy. Had I forgotten how hopeless my situation was before God rescued me by His grace? Before Brother Allen, He pulled me out of the pit of destruction? Have I forgotten that? Have I lived my life as if God is obligated to walk with me every day, to answer all my prayers, and to shower me with loving favor when I act intolerably toward others? I want other people to show me kindness and patience and sensitivity, and yet I won't give them an inkling of patience. You've heard me say this many times, and it's because I really believe it's true. I believe that this American generation is the most self-centered in all of human history. I just think we're spoiled rotten. And I say we, I'm part of we. There is this chronic condition in our society, but it is a condition that, to be perfectly honest, is worse in a Christian than it is in a non-Christian. And that condition is one that mars the glory of Christ in people like me who know Him. And this condition of which I speak is a paradox. And that's why the sermon is entitled The Paradox of Graceless Christians. For this condition to exist in people like me, a believer, is an awful paradox. Because it contradicts the very purpose for which Christ died on the cross for me. In other words, am I a living contradiction? Am I a walking, talking contradiction? There are symptoms of this condition. And I really believe that God's people, and especially men of God, ought to boldly declare that this condition is epidemic not only in our society, but I really believe is epidemic among the people of God in America. And I really believe that is the very reason that churches have such little impact on our society, and our society is sinking and decaying all the time. And it's because of people like me. And what is this epidemic? It is the epidemic of being graceless. And so I want to ask again of us Christians, what has God done for you? What has God done for you? Do you not know, dear child of God, my brother, my sister, in Christ, do you not know that you have been upgraded from what you once were? Do you not know that you have been more than upgraded? You have been made new. But the question then comes, well, upgraded from what to what? And this is why I want to read the text again. You don't have to stand, but this time I'm going to read all the way through verse 10. What have we been upgraded from to? And you, and I'm talking to all of us children of God, Christians, people who you know that you're a child of God, and you were dead in trespasses and sin. That's what we were. That was our condition. In which you once walked. Oh, yes, I did. Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, that is Satan, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. I was one of them. I did it. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. That's who we were. But God, bring it on. But God, there's one of those blessed buts of the Scriptures. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. I was dead, I'm alive. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages, get this, He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. As much as we can understand about grace right now, we ain't seen nothing yet. For by grace you have been saved. I love the word grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not of works, so that no one can boast. Oh yeah, but wait, hold on. This is why we strive to love God, love people relentlessly. Because God didn't do all of this for me to sit back on my haunches and say, make me happy, God. He saved me for a reason. And you too. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He's already determined what we're supposed to be doing. We just need to be doing it. That's right. So, upgraded from what to what? Let me just give you a little common South Georgia country boy vernacular. Let me just lay it out on the line. When we put our faith in Christ, we were upgraded from being dead in trespasses and sin, from walking according to the pattern of this world, from being under the power and sway of the devil, from being children of disobedience, from conducting ourselves in the lust of our flesh, from fulfilling the desires of our flesh and minds, from being children of wrath upon whom God's wrath rested. When we put our faith in Christ, we have been upgraded to being spiritually alive in Jesus Christ by His righteousness. We have been upgraded to the possessed ability and the adopted right to glory in our Lord Jesus' exaltation. We have been upgraded to being seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have been upgraded to the enjoyment and the greatness of knowing Him personally. We have been upgraded to being able to love Him and to be loved by Him and to ultimately share in His glory and understand the immeasurable riches of His grace. We are upgraded people. I'm telling you what, now I'm about to pass out because I'm not breathing enough. And y'all hear y'all, somebody ought to get excited about this. Who in here has been upgraded? If you've been upgraded, say upgraded. I got something else for you, child of God. Listen to this. This is good stuff in here for you. We were living in defeat. We're now assured of victory. We used to rely on our own strength and wisdom. Now, Almighty God walks with us day by day. We used to stumble about in the darkness of sin. Now we walk in the light of His salvation. We were spiritually dead. Now we are alive forever. How in light of this can I suffer with my own selfish, ignorant desire, satisfaction of being a paradox? I don't want to act how I used to be. I want to act how I am. God tells me who I am. He told me who I used to be. And He says, that ain't who you are anymore. Don't act like that, Mose. This is who I've made you. Act like this. I don't want to be graceless. Because the one who loved me and gave Himself for me is not graceless. He's gracious. Beyond my ability to know. And when we ask ourselves, have I been graceless to someone this week, this past week? And if our answer to that is yes, then we just got work to do. Because there's no excuse for me or for you, believer, to act gracelessly toward anybody. Not if we've been the recipients of this kind of grace. So I want us to examine what that might have looked like had we acted graceless. I think we can preface it perhaps with a couple of questions. Because I think all of this happens to true Christians once we, even for a moment, forget how much we depend on God's grace. See, not only are we the recipients of God's grace, we depend on God's grace. We think, well, I'm a recipient of God's grace. I can just go out here and do it on my own. No, you can't. We depend on God's grace every minute of every day. If you don't believe it, try breathing without depending on God's grace. We'll be calling the ambulance in just about 30 seconds. Huh? I tell you what you do. You sit there. Stevie, you want me to pray and ask God to remove His hand of grace from you so that you can kind of take control and tell your heart when to beat?
I haven't been there. It didn't work out.
Stevie answers, Stevie, you want? No, sir. How many of us would answer the same way?
No, sir.
No, sir. We depend on God's grace every moment of every day for every single thing. And we just tend to forget that. But we shouldn't. Do we forget? Have we forgotten how much we depend on God's grace every minute of every day? Because if we do, we're making a terrible mistake. Well, let's not do that. Do you know Christians whose marriages are joyless? Christian homes that are filled with anger and disappointment? Homes that were once joyful, encouraging, and loving, becoming places of condemnation? Do you know Christians who are just absolutely, utterly impossible to please? Does your spouse and children feel as if they have to earn your love? Because, you know, by default, what we do in our humanity, what we do is we give love when we think it's deserved. And then we withhold love from people when we think it's not deserved. Well, why don't you ask God to treat you that way then? To love you when you deserve it and to withhold it from you when you deserve it withheld. Because I'll tell you what would happen. None of us would ever receive the love of God. But it's just funny how in our humanity, if we're not careful, we're out here not depending on God's grace. We're walking in our flesh. And guess what? We want everybody else to love us, be patient with us, be sensitive to us, be kind to us. But then, boy, you let them disappoint us. And we'll jump down their throat. We'll talk about them behind the back. We'll avoid them. We'll ignore them. We'll be snappy with them. I'm just telling you, that's what happens. Once we stop depending on God's grace every minute of every day and kind of forget what God's amazing grace is and what it did for us. And this is not who we want to be. We don't want to be a graceless Christian, do we? The word should never come out of our mouth, well, I just can't forgive that person. Well, my goodness, if I'm a believer, what did God forgive me of? I mean, He loved the unlovable. He saved this man out of the pit of destruction. He didn't save me when I was savable. He didn't love me because I was lovable. He loved me while I was yet His enemy. That's what the Word of God tells me. He forgave me when I didn't ask Him to forgive me, didn't even think I needed His forgiveness. And so I ought to extend it freely to other people. And to not do so is graceless. And we don't want to be graceless. Amen? And you know, this question I'm about to ask right here is a question I ask myself as I began developing again this outline for all of these sermons. Because you know, as a Christian, you don't have to be a preacher. I'm a Christian before I'm a preacher. I'm a child of God before I'm a preacher. It is so easy to see everything that is going on around us right here in our own community and become cynical. Well, if they want to come to church, they know where it's at. If they want to go to a church, there's one on every corner. Let them come. And other questions related to that, being cynical. And so the question is this, and this is what I ask myself. Mose, do you find yourself despising lost people for simply doing what lost people do? Sin. Because that's all I once did. Where's the mercy? Where's the grace? Where's the desire to love them relentlessly in spite of who they are or what they're caught up in? Somebody has to live Jesus in front of them. Somebody needs to be sharing Jesus with them. Somebody needs to be loving them with the hands and feet of Jesus. And what I'm saying is that needs to be me, and it needs to be you, it needs to be us. Because if you remember our text, God tells us clearly what we were upgraded from. We were the sons of disobedience, just like everybody else. He didn't pluck me out of a tulip garden. I'm telling you, He plucked me up out of the mire of destruction. out of filth, out of the degradation of sin. That's what He plucked me up out of. And the only reason I'm one of His is because of His amazing grace and His sweet mercy. And I ought to want that for other people. But you see, here's the truth. And I'm about to close. Gracelessness really does knock at the door of each of our hearts. And if we're not careful, we'll let it slip in. Those of us, yes, even those of us who have enjoyed a generous outpouring of God's grace, if we're not very careful, we will be stingy about sharing grace with other people. But it's only logical that someone like me, who freely receives this great grace from a holy God, would be eager to give that grace to others. Surely those of us who have experienced God's long suffering would readily show patience with other people. Can somebody in here just tell me, this is time for audience participation. Has God been patient with you? Too much. Where would you be right now? Listen, I'll tell you where I'd be. I'm trying to make this very personal, because I'm no different from you. If God had not been patient with me as a believer, I'd already be dead. That's just the truth. I'm talking about as a believer. I cannot count the times God's patience has brought me through. How about you? How patient we ought to be with others. See, here's the point. We ought to be to others the way God is with us. And that really is what it means when I say radical grace. Living the Christian life Jesus intended. It's really living as He lived. Talking as He taught. Forgiving as He forgave. Being patient as He was patient. Being a blessing to people. Even when He knew they were just using Him, He was still good to them. They cursed Him, He blessed them. Well, I can't do that. No, not in our own flesh, we can't. But I'm going to tell you something. When I read Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, I see in Him that I'm a whole lot more than I ever thought I was. I have been upgraded. You hear me? I'm not talking about from a Chevy to a Ford or a Ford to a Chevy. I'm talking about upgraded from a bicycle to a Maserati. You understand what I'm telling you? Mutt and Jeff to a Lamborghini. There's been some upgrading going on in here. For believers, for those of us who know Christ, you talk about upgraded. Why don't we live up to our potential? Why don't we just be who He says we are? What I'm saying is this, as I move to my close now. If we really want to love God and love people relentlessly, we cannot tolerate within ourselves a lack of grace. We've got to be radical grace givers as we have been radical grace receivers from the good hand and mercy of God. Aren't you glad God is who He says He is? So I'm just going to read you this little blurb out of Exodus 33. God tells us who He is. This is just one place. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. Aren't you glad God is who He is? Aren't you glad He's who He is? I am so thankful God loves the unlovable. Because if He didn't, He wouldn't love me. And even though I have not always loved, His love for me has always been true and steadfast. And even though I have not always been gracious, His grace toward me has endured moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. Being as He is has to be our goal collectively as a body. Being as He is has to be my goal. It has to be your goal and your goal and your goal. Because if it is all of our goals to be as He is, let me just tell you something. The gates of hell will tremble in our presence. Satan will tremble with fear before a people of God who are acting and living out the life of Christ. It's not that we have or I have any power over Satan myself, but I know who does, and that is Jesus who lives in me. And I know the demons were fearful of Him. And the last thing I'll say this morning is this. I do not want to repeat this mantra and not mean it, or for it to be some routine that has no meaning for me. When I say those words, I don't want to say loving God, loving people, relentless. I want it to be such a part of my soul that I mean that thing. And by the grace of God, and depending on that grace, moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, I will be a radical grace giver as my Savior is a radical grace giver. And I will live the Christian life my Jesus intended me to live. My life will not be thought of by unbelievers as unbelievable and absurd. I will not bring shame to the name of my Redeemer. I will, by His grace, bring fame to His name, or I will bring nothing at all. I'm sorry, that was my fault. As I mentioned earlier, I asked the worship team to play congregationally so that we can sing it together again. This song, The Divine Exchange, and it is a song about God exchanging His grace for our sin. Let the words of this song seep deep into our hearts. Let's let us do that as we sing it together. As always, the altar is open for you to come and pray. Just because the team is up here singing and we're singing together, the altar is open. It's always, you can come up here and kneel and pray when I'm preaching. That would be awesome, actually. If you have questions for me, if you want someone to pray with you, Let me know that. I'll pray with you. Some of these other brothers and sisters will come pray with you. If you have questions about Christ, about knowing Him personally in a saving way, I'm here. Come see me. Whatever your desire is, just come. The great exchange, and what an exchange it is. Let's sing together.